on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. Barbecue Bob and I are just having a good time kicking off 2019. Bob's on a health kick if you're just tuning in for the first time, and this is, I guess it's working for
you. Are you like my press agent or something?
Well, I'm just saying, man, it seems to be dictating show content pretty heavily. So here we go again.
Hey. You're more than welcome to write next week's show.
All right, man.
It's all about fat and the bone.
Watch out, ribeye. Here we come.
Yeah, well, you know what? I understand, and I don't mean to overwork healthy living or anything like that. I'm not typically a health freak.
I agree.
I think it's
so un-Bob is why I've got to bring it up.
Well, right? Yeah. You know, it kind of goes hand in hand with the Snap Fitness thing. It goes hand in hand with not wanting to have to look in the mirror and say, gosh, it's not what I want to be.
Yeah, right. I'm doing some Standard Lumber, Standard Kitchen is an exhibitor down at the New Home and Remodeling Show, which is in West Michigan this weekend. And I'm doing some TV down there as well, promoting our company and stuff. And the first one that we did was earlier in the week, and I got the copy of it, and I sent it off to a few people. And I just put the comment on there, who's that fat ass on the couch? And I just sent it to everybody. And it was like, you're right. I'd like to say the camera adds the 10 pounds, but I think it's the microbrewed beer. I really do.
Well, anyway, I want to talk a little bit about a smoked venison roast.
All right.
And that's another lean, good, healthy meat that you can agree with me on.
I can.
That there's lots of reasons to love on that thing.
Well, you're gonna want to listen to this because this is not as easy as it sounds.
But we're gonna try and make it easy.
Right, exactly, because it is so lean.
It'd be easier if I had shot a deer this year.
Right,
I didn't do it. So I'm using a faux roast.
Grab a venison roast from your buddy's
from
freezer.
Your neighbor.
Number one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and our deer population in Michigan, at least, is not quite what it should be, but. There's a cool method I saw, if you ever watch, I don't know, YouTube videos, different guys out there, but one of the techniques that they espouse is, you might not believe this, but they use bacon. And
wow, this swing right back over to job side, maybe not so healthy. I'm liking this already.
So you take a big, long butcher knife and you boneless roast. You take that knife and you take a slice right down the middle of it and kind of burrow a tunnel through it.
Okay.
And then you get something that looks like a paint stirring stick, which would work fine.
Yep.
And you put a thick slice of bacon wrapped over the end of that.
No, it's a plunger
and you
now.
Use that, that's right. Yeah. You use that as a push stick and you stuff that big piece of bacon right down the middle of that. And believe it or not,
one
big thick piece of bacon does wonders for the center of a
but
roast.
But three would be wonderful.
Yeah, Jop's shooting for more.
Good. A healthy and happy 2019.
I wonder why
can
you
be
only use one. That would be wonderful if you use three.
You'd want to prioritize your healthy or happy. So then put your favorite rub on it. And there's so many good rubs. You can make your own salt and pepper, or you can do whatever you want. You might make a little bit of a marinade with some old world olive oils and a little balsamic in there if you want to maybe make a mop with that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Shasta could come up with something for you. But then put that in your smoker at about 275. And I'm going to say the typical venison roast is 2 or 3 pounds. They're not big.
Right.
For a whitetail. Anyway.
Rump roast. Right.
For a whitetail. Yep. And smoke it. To get it to, internal temperature, I guess that's personal preference. I'm going to say it should be around 160 to 170. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to bring it to 200 like a brisket.
Because you're not breaking down the connective tissue because there really isn't
there
any.
There isn't
it's
any,
muscle
yeah. There's not enough fat in it. And so you pull it out when you get maybe the internal temperature to about 150, and you put it into a saucepan or a roasting pan,
mm-hmm.
and you put in some beef broth and whatever you want to make, some Worcestershire, anything that's going to make a bit of an au jus flavor for you, and Worcestershire is always good for that. And then throw it back in the smoker or your oven.
Covered or not?
Nope, open.
Okay.
And then just keep basting it every 15 or 20 minutes. And throw in, when you do put that back in there, throw in some onions and some celery and some potatoes, maybe a little carrot with that, and bring all that up for about another hour. So you're going to have 2 hours of smoke, 1 hour of just heat. And by the time you pull that out, that internal should be, honestly, I can't tell you where your internal will be. It'd be impossible. But if you start slicing into it, you're going to notice it's fully cooked. It's not medium rare or anything inside because it's a roast.
Well, you could use a digital thermometer with a remote on it if you wanted to throw it at that. Then you'd know, because some people are nervous about going by the look or the feel, where you and I have got experience with that. They got to know. And that'd be a digital thermometer with a probe into the deepest part of the meat. And you set it wherever you need it. If you want it at 160, the alarm goes off, you know it's time to pull it.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm not recommending a temperature to the inside, because I can't remember, you know, the last one, what temperature I brought it
you
to.
You can't remember the last deer you got, and you can't remember the last roast you cooked, so you don't remember the last temperature you cooked it to.
Right. Yeah, okay. So anyway, you pull that thing off and you rest it for about a half hour, 20 minutes. And then you put it on a cutting board and start slicing it up. And you slice it up and then you throw it in that broth. And it is fantastic.
So you're serving it, it might be a little dripping a little bit because it took a bath in that broth before it gets
your plate. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool.
So you're going to want to slice it real thin against the grain. And because it's going to be kind of lean, it'll be a little on the tough side.
Yeah.
But I think if you're a real man, you can handle it.
It's time for a little man law. Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
And today's Man Law brought to you by Old World Olive Company. If a man ever does something wrong, a simple oops, my bad, or any variations of cuss words to get that point across will suffice. No need to say, I'm sorry. We don't say, I'm sorry.
You're right. Why would you? Move on.
Man Law.
Right. Move on. So, Shasta, a lot of our listeners are hunters, and they bag a variety of animals, whether it be venison or birds or fish. Do you have any go-tos for the salmon fishermen that's out there, what you would recommend?
Yeah, for salmon, we go back to any one of those citrus flavors. A citrus on any sort of fish is always good.
The oil or the balsamic?
I would do an oil first, because the oil helps to kind of put a protective coating on the meat to hold the moisture in. And then I would do that balsamic at the end, do a nice drizzle. If you chose to do it differently, you could do a nice marinade where you keep it in a baggie, in a container for a couple minutes. The balsamic will make a nice caramelization because of the naturally occurring sugar. So you'll get a nice sear on that if you were going to sear a fish.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So then is the balsamic and the oil enough seasoning, or do I need a dry seasoning? What would you recommend?
I look at it as kind of like the foundation of a house. Your food's only as good as what your base is.
Yep.
Some of the flavors are going to have a lot more of a presence once you're done cooking. But I would say if you want to layer it, if you want a lot more flavor, if you want something that's a real intense or robust, I'd go ahead and throw a few more things on it. If you prefer something a little bit more delicate and you like the taste of the natural fish itself, then leave it as is.
So for the guy out there that is using typically just a regular cheap vegetable oil, why would he make the switch to EVO?
Well, again, we're going back to the health benefits. If you're interested,
what if he doesn't care about the health benefits?
Well, if he's like Jock and he doesn't care, then
flavor. I'll
it's
tell
the
you,
flavor.
I can answer that. That's flavor, right?
It's just the flavor,
and especially the infused oils.
Right.
I think once you start cooking with it, you'll never go back to
basic vegetable
oil.
It becomes almost an obsession.
Yeah, because you taste basic vegetable oil, then it starts tasting weird.
It's just not the same. Yep.
But the difference between your high-quality EVOs and the stuff you find in the big box stores in a giant jug for $9.99 are vastly different. And I'm going to say that One of the reasons a lot of people don't like EVO is because they bought that.
Correct.
And it has this flavor to it that's like, wow, why would I use that on anything?
If you open up a container of olive oil, whether it's in a bottle, it's in a jug, it's in a tin can, and it tastes like crayons or it just smells stale, it's because it is. It's a bad rancid oil. And the benefit that you have by buying from a purveyor like us is that you get the crush date, you get the farm that it came from, and you get a
horse you rode in on
chemical panel. Right. So you know where it's from.
So Shasta, I was thinking it's just not oil and vinegars that you have at the store. Stick around for the last segment because sure. I want to talk about some of the other things that might go well on the dishes that are wild game. So if you listen to Grilling Guys, stick with us. We'll be back.